Erevin Daf Pei. And Erevin Daf Pei really deals with the topic of Shitufei Nevuot. So there are courtyards that open to an alleyway. So each home was opening to a courtyard. And then the courtyards open to an alleyway. So really the courtyards are technically more private than the alleyway is. Courtyards have four walls, an alleyway has three walls. So part of the Takana of Shlomo HaMelech, of Eruvei Chatzeros, is that to be able to carry from the courtyard to the alleyways, we have to combine all the residents of the alleyway. So the way to combine the residents of the alleyway we saw in the Mishnah, on Ayin Tesma Beis, is either you could have each resident give some wine, and then all the wine put into one barrel, and then the barrel placed in one courtyard. Or you can have one homeowner who owns lots of wine. He can take his barrel of wine, put it out in the courtyard, and say, this is on behalf of everybody. Everybody now has a share in this wine. But does that really give everybody a share in the wine? Because he says everybody has a share in the wine, does that give everybody a share in the wine? So the law is, that's what we learned in the Mishnah, that he has to have an adult who's somewhat independent lift the barrel to make an acquisition on behalf of everybody else. Through this adult being able to acquire on behalf of himself, when he lifts the barrel and says, and by my acquiring a share for myself, I'm also acquiring a share for each, that becomes a suitable acquisition. So, I mentioned that when you lift up the barrel, you have to lift it significantly. You have to lift it up a tefach. And so that was a lesson from the elders of Pumbedisa. And the Gemara mentioned that there are a whole bunch of lessons of elders of Pumbedisa. When you make Kiddush, you have to drink at least a full mouthful of wine. And if a woman is ill, because she just gave birth, or anybody else is ill, we can make a bonfire to help them on Shabbos. Okay, let's start now with another lesson of the sages of Pumbedisa. We are 1.5 lines down from the bottom. Ayin Tesim Beis. Amar Amemar. Ayin Tesim Beis. Amar Amemar. Right? The last thing we saw was that Shmuel said you can make a bonfire for a woman who just gave birth. So they thought that that meant only during the winter and only a woman who just gave birth. But Itmar, but we learned that Yehovah Rabbin's name of Shmuel, even somebody who has the chills because they went through bloodletting, you can make for them a bonfire on Shabbos, and you can make the bonfire on Shabbos in the hottest day of the summer. So this is also a lesson of the sages of Pumbedisa. Sages of Pumbedisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Amemar, Amemar said, Hanami Savit Pumbedisa Aminu. The following lesson also was from the sages of Pumbedisa, from Rav Yehuda. We're on the bottom of Ayin Testament Bay's last line. Hitmark before we learn the lesson of Amoraim, Ezohi Ashera Stam. We know that there's such a thing as an idolatrous tree, a tree of Avodah Zarah. It's worshipped, and there's a mitzvah of destroying it, of completely abolishing it. You have to burn it, you have to pulverize it. So if there's a tree, how do you know if it's a tree of Avodah Zarah? That's the question. You don't see people worshiping it. But is it in fact a tree of Avodah Zarah or not? So Rav said, Kol Shemasharsi Avodah Gelulim Shomosa. Any tree that the servants of the Avodah Zarah, you see the priests or the monks or the Jesuits all around it, watching it, they ain't tomin in Peroseh, they won't taste its fruit. So that's already a sign that it's an Asherah tree. Shmuel Amar and Shmuel said, if the attendants of the Avodah Zarah say, the dates of this tree are going to be used for the beer of the Nitzrafi Church. The Shasalei B'Yom Chagam, that they're going to drink it on their holiday. I know on Kratzmach, they drink something called eggnog or something like that. So if they say, you know, the dates of this tree are going for the beer for our church, then you know it's an Asherah tree. And Amrili Savad of Pumbedisa, and the sages of Pumbedisa told us, namely Rav Yehuda told us, Hilchas HaKavasi de Shmuel, Halachas like Shmuel. So there you see another lesson from the sages of Pumbedisa.
Do we know what that tree is today?
Any tree. Any date tree that the priests say we need the dates for the beer that we're going to drink in the church, that's already an Asherah tree. All right, going back to Shita Mevuos. Now we're going back to the issue of Shita Mevuos. The Mishnah taught us that the way to do Shita Mevuos is by giving a share in the wine to everybody in the neighborhood. And then the Gemara said that the way you give the share of the wine is by having your adult son or your wife lift up the barrel, at least the tefach, off of the ground. And that was a lesson of Savi de Pumpadisa. Right, again, the Gemara had said, Amar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, he's the Savi de Pumpadisa. Chavish shel shetuf nevuah, sarach lagbia ben akarka tefach. He had said that the barrel of wine of the Shita Mevuos, when you want to transfer ownership to each member of the neighborhood, you have to lift it a tefach off of the ground. So, says the Gemara, challenge. Maysville, challenge you, learn. How do you create a sheet of mavuos? This is what the Brisa says. You bring a barrel of either wine, or shemen, or oil, or shel tamar, more of dates, or shel grogos, or dried figs, or shel sharminate pears, or any other type of fruit. One of these types of fruits. So you can use all fruits. All foods, as we're going to see soon, except for water and salt. So any type of food. If the barrel belongs to the person who's putting down the shituf, he has to transfer ownership, a share, to all the people in the courtyard. To all the people in the neighborhood. Tzarech lezakos. But if the barrel already belongs to them, so now he's using their food to make out of it a shituf. Tzarech leodia, he has to tell them. He has to tell them, I'm using your food to make a shituf. The whole nature of a shituf is that everybody's going to be a partner. This one can eat, that one can eat. It's not going to be only one person's. Let's say there's one guy who's stingy, he doesn't like to share. So you got to let him know. Otherwise, he can ruin the shituf if he doesn't want to share. He has to be agreeable to it. So if you're using your own stuff, you're giving it to them, so okay, you just have to give it to them. But if you're using their stuff, you have to get their approval. Now, one second, just a second. If you're giving it to them, umagbiyam in akarka mashu. When you give it to them, you lift it a little bit off of the ground. So it doesn't say that you have to lift it a tefach. Not like what Rabbi Yehuda said. Not like what the Savi of Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa taught us. It just says a mashu. That's the Gemara. No. I mashu to kamar. What does the Brisa mean when it says you lift it a little bit? It means you lift it a tefach. Yeah, question. Is he?
No, I'm saying, he's saying,
Im yishelo tzarich lezakot.
Nachon.
Im yishelahem tzarich lehodia.
Why
No, because if I'm you, let's say we're all partners in a barrel of wine. Right, I have to let them know that that's what's going on. We're all partners in a barrel of wine.
I didn't give it to him.
I didn't give it to them. We're partners. He owns part of the barrel. I own part of the barrel. And I'm putting out this barrel. And say, okay, this barrel, for all the partners now, is going to be a sheet of mavuos. But maybe he doesn't want his share to be eaten by the next door neighbor. If he's makbid, he's not really sharing. Then you don't have a sheet of mavuos. So you have to make sure that everybody's on board. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah that if I'm giving my own wine to make as a shita mevuos, I need to transfer ownership to every member of the neighborhood. And the way in which I transfer ownership, the Mishnah taught, is by having an adult, it could be my son, it could be my wife, whatever, you know, my spouse, who lifts up the barrel of wine on behalf of all of them. And the way that that acquisition works is that through somebody acquiring for themselves, they can also acquire for others. And we said, how much do you have to lift it up? A tefach. Itmar, what we learned in the yeshiva, shetufei mevuos, when you're transferring, when you are using your wine to make a shetuf for all the people of the neighborhood, Rav Amar, in tzarach lezakos, you don't need to have the wine lifted and ownership transferred to all the members. They don't need to own it. It can be yours. They don't own it. It's just yours. It's not theirs. It still works. Shmuel Amar Tzarach Lezakos. Shmuel said, no. You need to, as the Mishnah says, Tzarach Lezakos, you have to transfer ownership in the wine to everybody. And the way you do that is by having somebody lift it up, acquiring a share for himself and acquiring a share for others. What about Eruvei Tchumen? What about when you want to put down food in a certain direction to enable you to walk further in that direction, to change where your Tchum goes? Rav Amar Tzarach Lezakos, if I put down food for somebody else, I need to transfer ownership to that person. Shmuel Amar Ein Tzarach Lezakos, I don't have to transfer ownership to that person. It could be my food and still can create an Erev Tchumen for him. So Mishmul Shmuel, now Shmuel's view that Erev Tchumen does not need to be transferred to the beneficiary of the Erev Tchumen. But Shitof Mavuos needs to be transferred. The wine needs to be transferred ownership-wise to the beneficiaries of the wine. Hachatznan v'achalotzan. That's following the Mishnayos. Our Mishnah tells us how do you make a sheet of mavuos.
Yeah.
The Mishnah said that the way to make a sheet of mavuos, zuntai. The Mishnah says the way to make a sheet of mavuos is to take wine, to put it down, and to transfer ownership. Okay, so the Mishnah is saying the sheet of mavuos needs to be mezakeh. You need to transfer ownership. El Rav, but Rav says the opposite. A sheet of mavuos, you don't need to transfer ownership. And in Erev Tchumen, you need to transfer ownership. My Taima, where did he get that from? Where do we ever see that Erev Tchumen, for me to put an Erev Tchumen down for you, it has to belong to you, and I have to transfer ownership to you. And whereas in Shittim Avuos, I don't need to transfer ownership. So Mark explains, Tanai, Rav has Tanayim supporting him. Now, as Rashi points out, Rav is the Tana himself. So Rav can disagree with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that for everybody to have a share in the wine, it has to be formal acts of acquisition. An adult has to pick it up on behalf of himself, on behalf of others. And Rav holds, since people want to help each other out, you don't need to do a formal act of acquisition. In terms of Eruv Tchumen, so there Rav holds that there does need to be a formal act of acquisition. It has to actually belong to the person who's benefiting from the Eruv Tchumen. And that he has a Tana supporting him. Even though we don't have it in the Mishnayos, there is a story where a Tana said that. Am Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav. Ma'aseh b'kalaso shel Rav Hoshaya. There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Rav Hoshaya. Shalcha l'beis hamerchatz. On Friday, she walked 2,005 amos outside of the boundary of the city to a bathhouse that was out there. She got very involved in the bath, l'chashchala. When she was in the bath, the sun set. So now she can't walk back home. Her mother-in-law saw this problem. Her mother-in-law was worried that her son is not going to have his wife for Shabbos. So the mother-in-law went out and put out an Eruv for the daughter-in-law. She put down an Eruv Tchumen. She put down food, let's say 1,000 amos away from the city. So now the daughter-in-law would be able to walk back home. Right.
How can... Now I make
she did it beforehand. She did it beforehand.
Before.
Yeah. She had done it. Izzy asks, it's already Shabbos.
Sure.
She had done it before it was Shabbos.
She must
not for her own benefit, but for
she did it for her daughter-in-law's benefit. Very good. The story came to Rabbi Chiya. But Asar, he said, no, the daughter-in-law cannot rely on this. Eruv, the daughter-in-law can't walk all the way back home. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, said to Rabbi Chiya, Bavloi, Babylonian. Are you so strict with Erevin? But my father, Rabbi Yossi, said, you should be lenient in Erevin. Okay, that's the end of the story. So, what was going on here? Why did Rabbi Chiya not allow the daughter-in-law to rely on the Erev Tchumen? And why did Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi allow her to? So, you might have a question in the yeshiva. Mishel Chamosa Irvala was the case that the mother-in-law used her own food. And the reason why Reb Chiya didn't allow her to walk back was because the mother-in-law didn't transfer ownership of that food to the beneficiary, to the daughter-in-law. Oh, Dilmer, maybe Mishamah Yirvala. The mother-in-law used the daughter-in-law's own food. So it was hers. But Mishum Lo Midaita. But because the mother-in-law didn't tell the daughter-in-law that she's using her food for this, and maybe the daughter-in-law doesn't want her food used for this, and that's why the Erev Tchuma didn't work, according to Reb Chiya. Amar Lehen Ahum Rabbana. So one of the rabbis responded to the students, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, and he said, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan the explanation of what happened here. Mishal Chamosa Irva, it was the mother-in-law's own food. And it was because the mother-in-law had not given the daughter-in-law ownership over the food. That's where Reb Chiya didn't allow the daughter-in-law to use that food as the Erev Tchumen. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did allow the daughter-in-law to use the food for her Erev Tchumen. So you see that according to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the beneficiary, the Erev Tchumen, doesn't have to own the food. Amar Reb Zeira Reb Yaakov. Reb Zeira said to Reb Yaakov, who was brah? He was the son of the daughter of Yaakov. He matis hasam. When you get to there, you can go to Israel probably. Akiv azil sum of the tzur. Go in a roundabout way. Go up the ascent of tzur. And ask Reb Yaakov Reidi, what was the detail of this story? Why did Reb Chiya not allow the daughter-in-law to walk? Why did Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi allow the daughter? So by minute, he asked the same question. Mishal Chamos here from Mishum Lo Zichtala. Was the problem that the mother-in-law used her own food and had not transferred ownership to the daughter-in-law? Odum Mishalah Yirva, or maybe she was using the daughter-in-law's food, but the problem Reb Chiya had with this Erev Tchumen was Mishum Shalom Itaita, was because the daughter-in-law wasn't informed. Amalei, so he said to him also, Mishal Chamos Yirvala, it was the mother-in-law's food, or Mishum Lo Zichtala. Reb Chiya didn't allow the daughter-in-law to walk based on this food, was because the food had never been transferred over to her. So what do you see? There's a machlokas tanaim here in Eruv Tchumen. If I put that in Eruv Tchumen on behalf of somebody else, do I need to transfer ownership of that food over to the beneficiary? That's the view of Reb Chiya. Or does it work even without transferring ownership? That's the view of Reb Shmuel, the son of Reb Yossi. And so Rav, who says that in Eruv Tchumen there needs to be ownership of the food, that's following the view of Rabbi Chiya. Rav holds in regards to Eruvei Chatzeros, not Eruvei Chatzeros, Shitufim Avuos, in regards to Shitufim Avuos, you don't need to transfer ownership. That's just against the Mishnah. But Rav can do that because Rav Tanahu Upalik. So now what's the halacha? I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Naktina, this is our tradition of the halacha. Echad Eruvei Tchumen, whether it be an Eruv Tchumen, putting down food to enable somebody else to walk 2,000 amos in that direction, Echad Eruvei Chatzeros, or putting out bread to enable all the people in the houses to carry from their houses to the courtyards, Echad Shituvim Mevuos, or the issue of our Mishnah, putting down wine to enable all the people of the neighborhood to carry from their courtyards to the street, to the alleyway, Sarech Lezakos, they actually have to own it. So you have to transfer ownership to them through an act of transfer, so that they own, that the beneficiaries own the food that is working on their behalf.
Just by saying it?
You have to do an action.
Give it to the mamash?
No, have a son, have an adult lift it on behalf of that.
On behalf.
He's zocha for himself and zocha for them. Like the Mishnah. So again, Rav Nachman is an Amora, and he's paskening that in this question, of our Mishnah, halachas like Reb Chiya, halachas like our Mishnah, zarech lezakos, you have to transfer ownership. Well, Rav Nachman now asked the following question, a different type of Eruv, Eruv Tavshilin. We know that when you have Yom Tov going to Shabbos, you have to start preparing the Shabbos food before Yom Tov, and you put aside some of the Shabbos food and you say, Badein Eruv, with this combining, Vishara Lan, it should be permitted for us, Lila Shuli Lafuye, to cook or to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So why is Nachman the following question? Eruv Tavshilin. If I put down an Eruv Tavshilin on behalf of somebody else, Zarech Lezakos, do I need to transfer ownership to that person that I'm doing it for? Or ain't Zarech Lezakos? Or do I not need to transfer ownership to the person that I'm doing it for? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Umaiti Boile." Why is Rav Nachman having such a question? Does he not know what Rav Nachman Bar Avada said in the name of Shmuel? Shmuel's the earlier generation. That Eruv Tavshilin also tzarech lezakos. Eruv Tavshilin, if I put an Eruv Tavshilin down for somebody, I need to transfer ownership over it to him for him to be able to benefit from it. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said back to Rav Yosef, Rav Nachman must have not heard this lesson. Yishmielei Maiti Baile. As if he would have heard it, he wouldn't have had this doubt. So, Amalei, Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, why is that so simple? In regards to Eruv Tchumin, Nilo Amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say, Ein Tzarech Lezakos? If I put down food on behalf of somebody else to enable him to walk in a certain direction, Shmuel says, like Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, that the beneficiary doesn't need to own it. Amar Hi, when we know that Rabbi Nachman said, Tzarech Lezakos, that the beneficiary does need to own it. The same we disagreed with Shmuel there, maybe you disagree with Shmuel here. So how do you know that he didn't hear the lesson of Shmuel? Because if he heard the lesson of Shmuel, he wouldn't have had the question. Abaye said back, no, my initial answer is right. Haki Ashta, what's the comparison between Eruv Tchumin and Eruv Tavshilin? Bishul Mahasam, in regards to Eruv Tchumin, whether it needs to belong to the recipient, to the beneficiary, to the daughter-in-law or not, Bigi Ravu Shmuel, there was an argument between Rav and Shmuel. Right? One was strict about Eruv Tchumin, the other was strict about Shitufei Mevuos. Kamash Malan, so we can have Rav Nachman telling us what's the Naktinon, what's the tradition. Kechumen Demar, Kechumen Demar. Let's be strict like everybody. Let's be strict like Shmuel, that the Shitufei Mevuos need to belong to the beneficiaries. And let's be strict like Rav, that the Eruv Tchumin needs to belong to the beneficiary. Have a look what over here. We don't have any argument. So he said, the Shmuelay. So if he had heard the lesson of Shmuel, that Eruv Tavshilin needed to belong to the beneficiary, he could demand the public. There's nobody even arguing with that. Certainly he would have followed that, because, you know, Rav Nachman's the one who says, let's go to the strictest view in terms of it belonging to the beneficiary. So certainly, where there's nobody who argues that it should belong to the beneficiary, he would have been following that view. So the fact that he said, I don't know what to do in this case, must be he never heard that Shmuel has an opinion about what to do in this case. Shmuel says you have to make sure that it belongs to the recipient, and you have to be mezaki, you have to do an act of acquisition to give the Eruv Tavshilin to the person who is benefiting from the Eruv Tavshilin.
We don't practice them like that, though.
With Eruv Tavshilin?
Yeah, don't you make it on behalf of the whole
I think that's just the rabbi. Only the rabbi can do it for those who forgot. But everybody else...
But we're not taking possession.
When the rabbi picks it up, he says, this is on behalf of everybody. Right, we don't have somebody taking it from the rabbi for everybody else. That's true. Okay, Hahu Turzina. I'm going back to the issues of Shitufei Mevuos. There was a Gentile who was a guard. He was watching weapons. The Habibish Mevusid Reb Zera. He was living in the neighborhood of Reb Zera. Amrule. So, if you have a Gentile living in the neighborhood, you can't do a Shitufei Mevuos or an Eruv Chatzeros with wine or with bread, because you need to rent away his rights. So Amrule, they said to the Gentile, Ogerlan Rishusach. Rent to us your share in the common area. Lo'orgluhu, he refused. He didn't want to rent it to them. Also, the common Reb Zera. They came in front of Reb Zera. Amulei, they asked the following question. Can we outsmart him? Can we go and rent away his rights without his approval, without his agreement, but to do it from his wife, to have his wife rent it to us? Amulei, Reb Zera said, this is what Reish Lakish said in the name of a great man. Who's that great man? Rabbi Chanina. A woman can give some of a man's food to the basket of food for the Eruv Chatzeros, even though her husband, her man, doesn't agree with it. The same thing can be with getting the Gentile's domain through renting. Even if the Gentile doesn't agree, you can get it from his wife. And another story, similar story. Terzina, there was another guard. He was living in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia. Amrile, they said to him, Ogalan Shusa, rent to us your share in the courtyard. But Ogalu, he refused. Also, the Kamdi Rebu the Bar Oshia, they came to Rebu the Bar Oshia, also lived in this neighborhood. Really, they asked him, we can't carry because the Gentile is not willing to rent his rights to us. Can we rent away the rights from his wife? He didn't have an answer. Also, the commander of Masna. So they went to Rav Masna. He also didn't have an answer. Also, the commander of Yehuda. They went to Rav Yehuda. He said to them, this is what Shmuel said. Shmuel agreed to Rav Chanina. Shmuel said, that if a man's refusing to give bread to the heir of Chatzeros, the wife could give bread to the heir of Chatzeros without the husband's approval. And therefore, if a Jewish wife can give bread to the heir of Chatzeros without the husband's approval, the Gentile wife rent away the rights of the Gentile in the courtyard without the Gentile's approval. Says the Gemara Meisvei. They challenged Shmuel and Rav Chanina from a Braisa. Again, Shmuel and Rav Chanina are Amoraim. Here you have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Nashim Shirvu, women who give bread for an heir of Chatzeros, or Neshtatfu, or who donate wine for a Shita Mevuos. Shalomidas Baalein, and they do it without their husband's approval, without their knowing about it, without their agreeing to it. And Uven Erev and Shituf and Shituf. So the Shituf doesn't work. The Erev didn't work. So you see that you can't go around the husband and get from the wife without his approval. So one says, well, it really depends. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Ata asar. It depends where these people who are causing problems for us are living. If the husband is living in the neighborhood that we're trying to make a shituf in, and his unwillingness to be part of the shituf is causing us all not to be able to carry it all, so then the Rabbanan said there's a way out. You can get from the wife, and you don't have to pay attention to him. But you can't get from the wife if you have some other option. Let's say you have an alleyway. And the alleyway is between two courtyards. So the truth is, the people of this alleyway, they don't need to, let's say you have a courtyard between two alleyways. Right? Let's say you have a situation, you have a courtyard, it opens to two alleyways. And so the people of this alleyway, they want this courtyard to join them in a shituf. But this courtyard doesn't usually use this alleyway. So now, they can really manage without this courtyard, because this courtyard doesn't normally use this alleyway. So we can really manage without them. So therefore, here we can't go to the wife against the will of the husband. But if we have within one courtyard, somebody's living in a house in this courtyard, and he's refusing to give to the sheep, to the Eruv Chatzeros. So now his refusal is messing everybody else up. There's no way around him. He lives here. So then we can go to the wife against his will.
How's that possible that there's going to be other mitzvahs where the nashim are not able to be yotzei on behalf of their husband?
Because I think part of the, as we've seen many times in the Masechta, we want to encourage an Eruv Chatzeros. We know people are going to carry probably even without an Eruv Chatzeros. So they set up the rules to enable making an Eruv Chatzeros. Sometimes you have a nasty neighbor. So there's a workaround. They didn't want fights. They didn't want fights. You know what? So we'll do it without them knowing about it. It'll also work.
Then Makil.
Or Makil to avoid a fight.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to say that as a result, because you can negotiate with the wife doing an act, that you can therefore be okay other...
No, it's not about yin yotzei a mitzvah, right? This is a question of can you set up an eruv? Can you set up a bonding? The wife really doesn't have the rights to the money. It's her husband's money. It's her husband's food. But we're going to let her be the one who can do it, because we don't want fights. Otherwise, there's going to be a fight in the neighborhood. We'll be upset. This guy is messing it up for everybody else. Hopefully he doesn't know about it. So you see that you don't have to tell everybody everything. Sometimes you do things for the benefit of the family unit. It shouldn't be machlokas. Yeah, shalom bayis, shalom kihila. Yeah. One guy's messing it up for everybody else. We'll work around it. We'll get the wife to help out. Says the Gemara, Hachanai Mistabra. This makes sense. And when Shmuel said you could have the wife give food for the Eruv Chatzeros without the husband, it's in a situation where the husband is a necessary part of this neighborhood, we can't arrange for any carrying without his involvement. Tim Kane, because if you're going to say that Shmuel allows in all situations for a wife to give food without the husband's approval, Tashia de Shmuel de Shmuel, we'd have a contradiction in Shmuel. Shmuel says, you have a member of an alleyway who every Friday contributes wine to the Shituf. And then one Friday he refuses. And the Bnei Mavi nechnas matok beisav enotam Shituf mimenu baal karcho. And the people of the alleyway can go and get the wine from his wife against his will. That's only a rugil. It's a guy who every Friday is contributing, and one Friday not. And then we can go around him to the wife. Because otherwise, we're all going to be stuck. But ain't ragil, but a guy who's not a regular participant. Because he doesn't normally use this alleyway. He uses the other alleyway. So he's normally not part of the shituf of this alleyway. Then we don't have the right to go around him to get from his wife. So Shmami knows, you see, it's proof to this idea. When he's a necessary component of this alleyway, then if he's suddenly messing it up for everybody, we can go around him and get it from his wife. But when he's not necessarily needed here, he has two ways. He can go through this alleyway, go through the other alleyway. Most times he goes through the other alleyway, so we don't even need to have him included in our sheets for this alleyway. But now we're not going to say, let's go around him to his wife. Maybe we can bring a proof to Shmuel. We learned in a brisa, kofen osa lasos lechi v'kor lamavu. We know that when you have an alleyway that only has three walls, so you make a shituf to enable people to carry from the courtyards into the alleyway. But even so, to carry in the alleyway, you also need to do something on the fourth side. You can either do a korah, a crossbeam, or a lechi, or an upright pillar. That was the beginning of the Masech.
That's exactly like when we have a fence between me and my neighbor. I want to build the fence.
So let's say he doesn't want to give money for the koro for the lechi.
Yeah.
So we learn, kofen osa lasos lechi v'koro lamavu. You can force him to give money to the koro or the lechi. So you see, he doesn't want to enable everybody else to carry. We force him to help everybody else carry. So the same thing would be true with the case of the shituf. He doesn't want to give to the shituf. We'll force him. We'll go around him by getting it from his wife. Tomorrow says maybe there's a difference. Shiny house in there, it's different. The leka machitzas. The alleyway is exposed. The fourth side is open. So of course you can force neighbors to do what's good for the neighborhood. To create some privacy for the neighborhood is good for everybody. It doesn't show you that you can go around a husband and get from his wife to make a shituf. There's not been another answer, mitzad shani, different version. There, maybe it's the court forcing him, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the neighbors can force him. All right, now once we mentioned lechi and korah, the Gemara mentions another thing about lechi and korah. Itmar was taught. Said, you can make a tree of Avodah Zarah, that upright pillar in the front of the alleyway, to permit you to carry in the alleyway. You can even make the crossbeam, which permits the carrying in the alleyway out of Asherah. So it's not really considered getting benefits, because it's a mitzvah, but the issue is that do you even have the right measurements? Adam or Korah, the one who said that you can make a Korah out of Asherah, Kolshken Lechi, certainly he would allow Lechi, because a Korah has a measurement. A Korah is supposed to be a tefach wide. And normally when you have an item of Asherah or a Avodah Zarah, there's a mitzvah to destroy it. There's a mitzvah to destroy something, Ketuse Michta Shiura, you don't have the measurements. Here there has to be a measurement of a certain measure amount. So if you allow Korah, certainly would allow Lechi, which doesn't have a measurement. But Amanda Mar Lechi, the one who said you can make a Lechi out of Asherah, of a Korah low. But Korah, since it has a measurement, it has to be a tefach wide, that you couldn't make a Korah out of Asherah wood. But since the Asherah wood, Kitusei Michta Shiurei, you have an obligation to destroy it, and the obligation to destroy it takes away its measurement, and therefore wouldn't work as a korah to permit carrying in the alleyway. Okay, let's go back to some more laws about the sheet of mevuos. The last Mishnah said that if I want to make a sheet of mevuos, I can put down a barrel of wine, my own wine, and transfer ownership to every member of the courtyard by having my adult son lift the barrel to acquire a share for himself, and through the acquisition of a share for himself, also acquiring a share for every member of the courtyard. What happens if if the wine somehow spilled? You don't have enough wine here for everybody. So Moses, you can add wine. Umezake, and you have to transfer the ownership of what you added to everybody. Let's say you're not using your wine to add, you're using their wine to add. You don't need to tell them that you're using their wine to add, because since they were part of the original shituf, they're clearly happy to be part of the shituf. So they'd be happy to have their wine used to reestablish the shituf. What happens if Nitos Valei and new people moved in? So now Mosif, you have to add wine because you have new people. If you're using your wine, Mazaki, you give them a share. If you're using their wine, since they had never originally agreed, now that these new people moved in, so you have to inform them. How much is the amount of food needed to make a sheet of mevuos? It's not Shimon Reuben if you have a lot of people living in the neighborhood, Muslim Shtei Sudos. You have to have food of two meals. And that works for everybody. Lukula. It's not Shimon Watson if there are very few people living in the neighborhood. Then you give them less than two meals. Could grow garis, look called Achad Be'echad. Enough food that were you to split it up, each one of the people living here would get the amount of a dried fig. What is this whole true? That you have these measurements of food to create a sheet of mevuos. Betchilas eruv, when you're creating an eruv for the first time. If you already had the sheet of mevuos, and now some of the food has been lost, kosher, as long as something is left, it works. Well, Rabbi Yossi adds, they only said to make an eruv chatzeros when you have a sheet of mevuos. The children not forget the concept of Eruvei Chatzeros, and therefore we can be makil with the Shirayim, with the leftovers. Okay, Bezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with the Gemara here. Wow. On the